Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. The title of my message this morning is A Witness to the Faith. A Witness to the Faith. We're going to be looking at a familiar passage this morning, Acts chapter 26, verses 19 through 29. And as we start, we'll read the entire passage, and then we'll go back and we'll examine what God has laid on our hearts this morning. In Acts chapter 26, verses 19 through 21, Paul is standing in front of King Agrippa. He's about ready to be sent to Rome, and he's given a witness to King Agrippa. He's allowed to speak for himself. Verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus, of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, wherefore whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know them thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time, Lord, together. We thank you for the examining of your word. Father, we ask that your truth would go forth. And Lord, help it to mold our hearts and to make us more like you. Help us, Lord, to not be the same way that we came in, but Father, to be more committed to you to witness. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. You know, over the time, you could be in a whole bunch of trouble or a whole bunch of situations, and you kind of ask, have you ever asked yourself, how on earth did I ever get to where I am? Why is this happening to me? This was a stressful and frustrating time for Paul. You know how this all started out? This started out with Paul taking up a collection to help the poor in Jerusalem. He's going through all the churches in Asia Minor and in now modern day Greece and collecting for this. And he took it back to Jerusalem. Along the way, he keeps on being told of all the stuff that's going to happen to him. And Paul looked at the challenges and said, I'm going to do what God has laid on my heart. You know, how Paul got here? He was doing God's will. And sometimes when we do God's will, we wind up in a situation that we don't necessarily like. Now, this morning was a frustrating time in our household. We got up and we were ready. We were walking out the door. And all of a sudden, a cat decided to make a litter box out of a rug. And so we sat there and said, okay, we get this. Then we went out. I went out to the car to start it up, and then you saw all the condensation and everything else. And I put down the passenger window so I could back out of the driveway, and then I put the passenger window up, and it sticks down. And you go, wow. And so now Angie has her coat, and I said, well, we're going to take the car the way it is with the window down. And now we're riding up the road with her coat on. We get up to the traffic light. We're saying, you know, Lord, help. And I started pushing the button, and it started coming up little by little by little. And the more we pushed, the more it came up as all the way up. You know, we often wonder, why do these things happen to me? How did I get here? I'm trying to do the right thing, Lord, but why am I here? See, it was a frustrating time for Paul because he was doing something that was good. He was trying to encourage people. But what happened was, when he went to Jerusalem, he goes in the temple, people go nuts. They drag him out of the temple. You can read this in the earlier chapters of Acts, chapters 22, and it talks about this. And now there's a riot in the city. He goes and he stands on the steps. And the Roman soldiers come to try to quell the riot. He gets up on the steps and he starts speaking to them in Hebrew, and they quiet down for a little. And then they go nuts again. And so the Roman centurion goes, grabs him and puts him in the prison and says, what crime have you done? What are you doing here? How did you get like this? And Paul says, I was just doing what God told me to do. And he was beaten by the Romans. And he said, hey, you want to beat me who's a Roman citizen? And the centurion said, hey, this is not right. So you're off to Caesarea. And he goes up to Caesarea and he's put into house arrest for 2 years. And in that time, he goes in front of the governor, and who was Felix at that time, and said, well, I want a fair trial. They wanted him, the Jews wanted to go back to Jerusalem because they were going to try to kill him. But Felix says, no, we're not going to do that. So he puts him in house arrest for 2 years, thinking that this is probably the end. And Paul is going, he's already been told by God. He says, you're going to be a witness to me in Rome. But sometimes doing what God wants us to do takes some time. It takes some time. And so he's under house arrest. And so Felix loses his governorship, and then Festus comes in, and both of them have one thing in mind. They say, hey, they don't like Paul, so maybe we can bribe the Jews. We get some more money for the Roman Empire. Maybe I get some more money for me. And it's good that we keep him in prison, but really I like a bribe. So that's where you were. And then in chapter 25, Paul makes another defense in front of Festus and basically says this. He says, I'm not trying. I appeal to Caesar. I want to go to Caesar and have my case held there. Well, Caesar's in Rome. God said he was going to go to Rome. Sometimes we're going to go to where God wants us to go, not necessarily the way we thought it would happen. And so Paul is in house arrest. He's been held there for a long time. And he's going to get this opportunity. Now, he talks to King Agrippa. And most of, and chapter 26 talks about his defense of King Agrippa. Because in chapter 25, Paul says, I want to go to Caesar. And then Festus says, okay, if you want to go to Caesar, you're going to go to Caesar. And so now he calls down King Agrippa. He says, look, King Agrippa comes down and they visit and everything else. And he says, there's this man as a prisoner and he's wants to go to Caesar, but I don't know what to write about. And so maybe you can listen to him, King Agrippa, and we can find out what to write about. And that's how Paul gets to where he is in front of King Agrippa. Now, I find it interesting that Jesus, before he was crucified, told his disciples, he says, you're going to testify of me before kings and princes, and you're going to be witnesses to me in our world. See, what was working for the disciples that Jesus called worked for Apostle Paul too. Because Jesus gave him the same commandment. Jesus gives us the same commandment too. And so that's where Paul is right now. And in the first part of 26, he talks about his conversion on the Damascus Road. And, you know, when we go through troublesome times, sometimes we just want to give up. Sometimes we say, well, you know, it just doesn't make sense. This is not what? Worth it. But what we see in verses 19 through 21 is we see the commitment of Paul. Paul goes all the way back to his conversion on the Damascus Road. And he says, that's what's keeping me going. This morning, church, I want, and everybody's listening on the internet, I want you to go all the way back to the time of your conversion. Because God saved you for a purpose. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But you know, in order to be committed to God, you have to be obedient. In verse 19, it talks about his obedience. He says this, he says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. What vision? The vision of Christ on the Damascus Road as a blinding light. The vision that when he went to Ananias and says, Brother Saul, your eyesight is restored. You're going to be a witness to me to the Gentiles. Paul was doing what he's doing because God asked him to do something. This morning, I got a question for you. He was not disobedient, which means he was obedient. But for us, God's given us a heavenly vision. It's in His Word. He told His disciples, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He told His disciples, go, you'll be witnesses both to me in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. That's what God is talking about. That's what the church is supposed to do. It's supposed to be a witness. Could do other things too, but the main goal is to be a witness. See, how many times have we been asked to do something and we didn't do it? How many times do we read God's Word and we see something that we should do because it's commanded to us and we don't do it? There's a lot of times that obedience is required, but it's often dismissed. One of the sad, sad things in the Bible is when Paul is in prison. And he writes to Timothy. He says, this thou knowest. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he says, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. See, the Bible says in the last days the love of many will wax cold. That means gets colder. And I'll tell you why churches aren't growing. Because we're not obedient to the vision. I'll tell you why churches aren't, lives aren't changed. Because we're not obedient to the vision. We're supposed to be witnesses. Paul, in all these things, he's in house arrest. He's standing under trial. He's in all these things, he's still a witness. What does it take for you just to give up and not do anything? If you're not doing what God tells you to be, this morning you're out of the will of God. This morning you're disobedient. And we need to get back to that. Well, I just don't understand why things aren't changing. Maybe you need to change. Maybe we need to become obedient. Because only by obedience can we stay committed to God. So we see in the commitment of Paul, it was based on his obedience. In his commitment to Paul, we see his ministry. In verse 20, he says, but showed first unto them of Damascus. See, Paul was saved in Damascus. That's where he met Ananias. He stayed there and he did what he was doing. Have you ever told anybody about your salvation experience? You need to do it first where you're saved. In your home. With your family. And we see the scope of it. He went to Damascus. And then verse 8, then at Jerusalem came back. And then throughout all the coast of Judea. And then to the Gentiles. You know something? He did exactly what Acts 1:8 said to do. And folks, that should be an encouragement to us. We should do exactly what God's Word says. We can't go all over the world like Paul did, but what we can do is we can support missions. What we can do is we can witness to our neighbors. We can witness at work. We can have a testimony that will show others about that. So we see his scope here in verse 20. We see his single-mindedness. What allowed him to get through all the stuff that was causing him frustration and stress? It was his single-mindedness. As he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, he says, whereunto I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. We are all appointed to be ministers of reconciliation. We're all appointed to be witnesses. Are we obedient to the vision? Are we obedient to His will? Are we obedient to His Word? Are we fulfilling our ministry? Paul writes to his proteges, the guys he's mentoring, he says, you be obedient, take heed to your calling. Give heed to your ministry. Do what God has sent you to do. If God is telling you to do something and you're not doing it and you know you're not doing it, you're out of God's will and you're disobedient. I am so glad that Paul was obedient, because if Paul wasn't obedient, we may not even be here today. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. But we do know that Paul was committed because he was obedient. We do know that Paul was committed because he fulfilled his ministry. We do know that Paul was committed because he stuck to the message. Oh, today we have taken the gospel message and we have turned it into other types of ministries. And we think that helping other people and not even sharing God's word is witnessing. No, it's not. Witnessing is showing and telling others about Jesus Christ. And if you do something and you don't have Christ in it, and that's not your main focus, then we're not fulfilling the commission. He talks about in verse 20. He says that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Folks, the message is simple. Repent. Turn from what you were trusting in and turn your trust in God. That means you need to follow God. It means you need to get close to God. In fact, you're in His presence. But you can't do that without Jesus Christ. It's simplicity. He says, turn to God and then do works meet for repentance. That show that you are truly who you say you are. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Paul goes to the Corinthian church. He says, when he goes into a city, he went in a synagogue, or he went to the riverbank, he went everywhere else. But this is what he did. He says, for I determined to know anything, not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Folks, we need to be focused, as we talked about Wednesday. We need to be focused on Christ. We need to be a witness to Christ and for Him. See, he was committed from his obedience. He was committed from his ministry. He was committed because of the message. Because it's simple. This is how I was before I met Christ. Christ saved me. He changed my life. And this is how I am now. And they're different. And they're different. It's statement. Here in verse 20, he says you're supposed to repent and turn to God and then do meet works. Meet for repentance that basically show that you are saved. What works are you doing that shows that you're saved? It's more than just coming to church.
Right.
It's telling others about Christ. Yeah, it's showing God in your family. It's showing God in your life. It is showing God in your church. But it's showing God to a lost and dying world. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Which has come unto you, as is all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth." See, the message is this. God came to live a perfect life, to fulfill the law, to take the place of sinners on the cross, to die on the cross, to be resurrected the third day, to ascend into heaven, to put His blood on the mercy seat in heaven, and to offer us salvation, which is a free gift. And if you haven't done that, you need to do that today. And for those that have accepted the free gift, we need to live a life of gratitude. A life that shows that we are. Because Christ told His disciples, says, "By their fruits ye shall know them." He says, if you abide in me, you'll bear forth what? Much fruit. In the parable in Matthew chapter 13, He says that the seed was put on the good ground that took root, brought forth fruit. Where is the fruit in your life? There is no doubt that there was fruit in Paul's life. Everywhere he went, he talked about Christ. Everywhere he went, he served Christ. So we see the commitment of Paul and his obedience and his ministry and his message. And then we see the obedience of Paul in his misery. In verse 21, it says, "For these causes." What causes? The things that he was committed to. He says, "The Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me." You know, Christ said to his disciples, he says, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. He says they're going to do the exact same thing to this. And you know, mankind's answer to something that convicts them is just get rid of it. Kill it. Lie about it. Cover it up. Make it go away. His misery in remembrance. You know, not only is Paul under house arrest now for 2 years, and he said, nothing's happened to me. But all along the way, he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, he says, "And journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." You know something? He's been there before. He understood what was happening. And that allowed him to stay committed. So he had his remembrance, and then he had his resolve. In Romans 8, verse 18, he says this. He says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Folks, the hope in God will allow us to stay committed even when things don't go our way. Even when the timing is not what we think it's going to be. As long as we stay obedient to His vision, and as long as we stay obedient to the message. Because it's simple. It needs to bring forth fruit. And we need to do those things. So we see here the commitment of Paul. And what that does is it leads to the confession of Paul. In verse 22, he says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day." See, if we're committed to God and we're doing the ministry, we're being obedient to Him, He'll help us. The Bible says that in Psalm chapter 115, verse 11, it says, "Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." See, there's a multi-phase process that we have to do, as Paul did. The first thing is you have to fear the Lord. You need to understand Jesus for who He is. But this goes beyond having an intellectual knowledge about God. There's too many intellects out there right now. We just need some basic bottom line faith. Amen. "Ye that fear in the Lord, trust in the Lord." Trust in the Lord for your path. Trust in the Lord for your wisdom. Trust in the Lord for to get you through these times. Trust in the Lord when you're frustrated. Trust in the Lord when you're happy. And then he is their help and their shield. Paul writes, he's talking to King Agrippa, and he says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue on this day. He got deliverance from God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, for which cause we faint not. You know, there's a lot of people giving up. A lot of people giving up because of COVID. I just can't come to church anymore. If you're physically able to, you need to come to church.
Right.
Well, I just can't do this. I'm too old. We're supposed to do this all the way. What about Abraham? He was really old. He was really old. He says, for which cause we faint not. Don't give up. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Oh, folks, is that your confession? Because it shows your commitment. His dependence. Are we truly dependent on God? Oftentimes I think that God is the last hope instead of the first place to go. His dependence. His confidence in verse 22. He says, I continue to this day, witnessing to both small and great. He had a witness to all. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, there's a lot of people ashamed to call themselves Christians, thinking about what people would say. Or somebody might say something wrong you. Or maybe you're ashamed because you really don't possess Him. Maybe you're ashamed because you really don't know Him. You have this knowledge, but it's not down here. For out of the abundance of heart the mouth speaketh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But in Romans chapter 1:16, and see, we need to look at these other things. He's writing to the Romans. He wrote to the Romans from Corinth. He says, I'm coming! Get ready! I'm coming. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. See, he had confidence to witness to all. He had confidence in the truth. In John chapter 5, verse 39, he's talking about, they didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have the letters. They were being written. And so Paul is sharing to Agrippa the Old Testament. The same message that Jesus had. In John chapter 5, verse 39, he's dealing with the Pharisees, the ones that should have known the truth. He says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Folks, the message of Jesus Christ is the same message we need to preach. We cannot change it. It's based on the authority of God, and we need to have confidence in it. We need to have confidence in it. The confession of Paul, he was dependent on it. Paul was not a self-made man. He was a God-made man. And every one of us need to be God-made people. We are His workmanship. We are a new creature. Old things passed away. We're made a new lump. All these things. His confidence was to witness to all and in the truth. And then he had his assurance. In verse 23... See, up to the point, he was just like the Pharisees. He was searching the scriptures, but he was blinded, just like they were, until he went to the Damascus Road and he saw Christ, the glorified Christ. And then he realized what all those scriptures said. Verse 22, it says, saying none the other things than these, than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer. And that it should be the first that should rise from the dead and should sow light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Folks, we're going in the Christmas season. And this is what it is all about. The people who sat in darkness saw a great light. Folks, the world's a dark place. We even have people saying it's going to be a dark time. No matter how dark it is, God is light. No matter how frustrated you get, Christ will provide you a way. He had assurance in the testimony of Christ. in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, the verses that are on his list, says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." See, Paul said, "I'm not going to tell you anything that I'm thinking about." He said, "I'm going to tell you things that I experienced. What happened to me? How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." See, he had assurance in the testimony of Christ. He had assurance that gives hope regardless of the decisions of men. He said, "I don't care what Festus and Agrippa thought about. I don't care what the decisions are. I'm going to follow God and whatever that does." Folks, we're too much allowing man to drive our decision-making process anymore. We need to stand for what's right. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says this, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope." Is Christ your earnest expectation and hope? "That in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now as Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by my life or by death." Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says this, "Looking for that blessed hope." We're not supposed to be people that go around living as if there is no hope. We're supposed to be expecting and magnifying Christ in our body, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ could come back today. He could rapture the church today. Are you ready? I was saying yesterday in Max's memorial service, there are two things that Christ kept on preaching. He said the thing is to be ready. I talked about all parables about being ready. Being ready for his coming. And then the other thing was to be fruitful. And to be fruitful. And Max was ready. Max was fruitful. He was fruitful. Paul was ready. He had this hope. No matter how frustrating the circumstances were, he had this hope. He was ready. Because he was looking for that blessed hope. See, a couple years before, God had told him that he was going to go to Rome. And he, now 2 years later, he's not there yet. But he still believed that God was going to make it happen. And folks, if God's spoken to you, it was going to happen. Because that's the who God is. So we see the confession of Paul and his assurance in it. Then lastly, we see the compassion of Paul. Well, this went really well, didn't it? So Paul's speaking, and just like so many people today, Festus cuts him off and says this. He says, "You're mad. You're a madman. Much learning has made you mad. Stop all this talk." See, we see the compassion of Paul in spite of rebuke. He answers with discretion. We just went through a couple weeks ago in Proverbs chapter 26. See, the fool said in his heart, "There is no God." Festus is saying, "There is no God. You're mad. You're mad." But you know what? Paul just kept on doing what he was doing. The proverb says this. It says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." See, Paul could have just come unglued right there. And some of us might have come unglued. Festus, wait a second. You're a madman. You kept me locked up for 2 years. You're a madman. You won't let me get to Rome. You're a madman. You won't let me appeal to Caesar. You're a madman for doing all this other stuff. Who's the real madman here? He could have taken and he was an educated man. He could have gone and had a logical argument with him. But he said, "Nope. I want to stay focused here." He answers with discretion. He says, verse 25, and look how he answers. He says, "But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness." Folks, that's how you answer rebuke. You do it respectfully, and you do it with the truth, and you do it with soberness. You do it as you're committed, because people will see right through something that you're not committed to. He answers with direction. He's not talking to Festus. He's already talked to him. He's talking to King Agrippa. And so he turns his attention to King Agrippa. You know, there's so many times that God's given a specific task, someone to deal with, and then there's deflection. There's all these challenges along the way that get us off track. He stayed right on target. And he didn't have the force. He had God. He had God to keep him there. And it allowed him to go in spite of rebuke. His question. In verse 27, he says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Notice what he did not say. He said, do you believe in Jesus? He didn't say that. He said, do you believe in the Old Testament scripture? The ones that you studied. The ones that talks about the chosen people of Israel. See, his question was this. If you believe the Word of God, you must believe the God of the Word. If you believe the Word of God, you must believe the God of the Word. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He says, King Agrippa, he says, you believe the prophets? He says, I know you know this. And folks, I know that you know this truth. But truly, have you accepted it? You've got to believe. If you believe the Word of God, you've got to believe in the God of the Word. And you've got to follow Him. If you say, I'm a Christian, then why don't you live the Word? Why are you living with someone else that's not your wife? Why are you doing pornography? Why are you doing drugs? Why are you doing all these things? Why are you acting just like the world? You say you're a Christian. Do you really have commitment? Do you really have a confession of faith? Do you really have compassion? See, Paul gave compassion in spite of rebuke. He gave his question, and then he talked about his devotion. It was his desire. In verse 29, he says this. He says, and Paul said, I would to God that not thou only, but almost all those that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. See, sharing the gospel was his desire. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, he writes, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. See, you can't do anything if you have no vision for it. You won't have any vision unless you have a desire for it. It's our duty. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Wait a second. Our hearts. The love of God is what? Shed abroad. Folks, are we doing that? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. See, the Holy Ghost empowers you to do this. The Holy Ghost changes your desire. The Holy Ghost changes your direction. The Holy Ghost changes your devotion. The Holy Ghost should change you. So, the compassion of Paul, in spite of rebuke, his question, his devotion, and then lastly, his perception. He was aware of all the unbelievers present. You know, I think too much as Christians we give up. And people start saying, well, I know the Bible and that's good enough for us. That's not close enough, folks. Right. It needs to be in line with God. It's not close enough. And I think we're all guilty of saying, just accepting someone's testimony that, yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church, and that's good enough for us. It wasn't good enough for Paul. It shouldn't be good enough for us. See, He was aware of unbelievers present. He saw the continual need to witness. There are two conditions where you don't need to witness anymore. When everybody gets saved, is that the case? Nope. Or when we're called to heaven. We're here right now. Is that the case? Nope. So what is our challenge today? To be a witness. Those two conditions have not been met. Paul saw them and he says, okay, I want to just keep on doing what I'm doing. No matter how frustrated I get, no matter how things don't go my way, I'm going to keep on doing this. He remained committed to the gospel. He says, I want everybody to know the God that I know him. He says, I want everybody to be just like me, except I don't want you to be in chains. Our memory verse talks about being free. The Son made you free. Truth sets you, you'll be free what? Indeed. Oh, this morning, are we a witness for the faith? This morning, I want to encourage us. It's a tremendous time. It's a tremendous time to witness because we see all the things coming that shows Christ is coming back. And it's just not about, well, I'm ready, I'm okay. What about all those around us? What about all those around us that do not know the gospel? Are you sharing it? We need to be. Are you a witness to the faith? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you for this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to be the witness that you want us to be. Father, this morning, if someone's out there saying, I can't be a witness, maybe they don't know you. Father, I pray that today they would accept the witness of Christ and what he did on the cross and accept him as their Savior, Lord, by asking forgiveness of their sins, believing that he died on the cross, was buried, rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, that they accept the free gift of salvation, that they would cry out to you and accept that gift, and Father, that you would change them eternally. Lord, be with us time. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.